Well, guys, I wish you could see what I'm looking at right now, and that is a group of men that are together for one purpose, and that is to honor our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, to stand up here and see this group of guys that have packed themselves into a gym and have their Bibles ready and are eager to hear what the Word of God has to say is what America needs today. This kind of setting. You know, you start to think about why our homes aren't doing well, or why our schools aren't doing well, or why our churches are failing. In large part, it's because men like you have not showed up, and tonight you're here and you're ready to go. Hey, there's a song that we haven't sung yet tonight, and it's not the one that you tried to sing, Pastor. By the way, I just love that, man. That was, like, that's me all over the place. You know, I do that all the time, and so I enjoyed the fact that you chose the wrong song, you tried to sing the wrong song, he's playing the right one, and I think he would have changed the whole thing just so you'd have thought it was Victory in Jesus, and that's a guy who loves his pastor, so praise the Lord for that. There's a song we haven't sung, and we need to sing it tonight, and you have it handy, and you probably haven't sung it for a long time, and you're going to have to stand up when we get to the end of it, but tonight, good night, we're starting out this series of sermons about rooting and grounding ourselves in Bible truth and spiritual principles. So you know what we're going to sing tonight, right? Come on, you can spell it, you can sing it. Let's sing the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Hey, do you know it? All right, let's sing it. And then, you know, you got to stand up and you got to do the old shout with your Bible at the end of it. So let's get a note here. Let's do the... That's not bad. Here we go. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, Bible! That was pretty good. Now let's try it one more time, so sit down. And let's bring it up just a notch. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, Bible! Man, that's good. Let's pray and be dismissed, all right? You can be seated. Take your Bible tonight and turn to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter number 66. I have recently in my own Bible study been going through some of the Old Testament prophets, and the prophets had hard messages to share. Theirs was a message of judgment to a nation that had strayed far from God. But in all of the prophets, there was always a pathway back to God. They pronounced severe judgment on nations who'd taken righteousness and cast it aside. They had defied the God that had given them the freedoms that they were enjoying, much like our nation today. But there was always a pathway back to God. No matter how severe the nation was, no matter how far they had strayed from truth, there was always a pathway back to God. And men, the encouraging thing is that tonight, for some in this room, we can sing and say the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. We can say I stand alone on the Word of God, but the sad truth is that your standing has not been consistently in the Word of God. We might understand that its truths are eternal, but until those truths become ours, the pathway to God is in front of you, and it's left up to you to take it. Isaiah chapter 66, look down with me at verse number 1. Isaiah 66, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been made, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word." Father, this evening, as we approach the very word of God, our prayer is that tonight we'd be able to set aside those things that oftentimes take our minds off from the Word of God. Quicken us by your Spirit. And then, Lord, I do pray that you'd grant me the clarity of thought and the freedom of word tonight to enjoy the privilege to stand in front of this group of men. Father, change us, not because we've heard a clever sermon, but because we've heard from you. Holy Spirit, be our instructor tonight. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort us to righteous living. This we pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, oftentimes we start to think about what is the Bible? What is this book that we hold in our laps? One man wrote, "This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Christ is its subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its chief end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is given to you in life, will be open to you in judgment, and will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and it condemns all who trifle with its holy precepts." This book is more than just ink and paper. It is the eternal Word of God. Jesus Christ said or proclaimed himself as the living Word. You and I know that in the beginning was the Word. The Word, capital W, was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word put on flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ was the Word with flesh. You and I hold tonight in our laps, we hold in our hands, Jesus Christ in written form. Have you ever sat before someone before that you wanted to hear from? In other words, if we asked people tonight, "Hey, who's your favorite preacher?" we'd have different folks that would say different men. And when that man stands in front of you, you sit up straight and you pay attention. In fact, some of you, when you know a certain person's to be preaching, you take out a pen from your pocket, you get out paper and prepare yourselves to learn. Why is that? Well, because we know the man. We sit back and we eagerly prepare ourselves for the meal that has been prepared, and we soak it in. We listen to the person with eager anticipation. In fact, for many in this room tonight, if we were to turn to the back of your Bible, there'd be back of the Bible quotes repeatedly from men that you say, "He's one of my favorite preachers." You have, in a sense, a respect for the man. When we start to think about the practical aspect of the Word of God, Isaiah hits the nail on the head when he says, "Here's how your life will be changed through the Word of God." Did you notice in verse number 2, this is the man to whom God looks. Isaiah chapter 66, verse number 2, "For all those things hath mine hand made, all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and," here's the words, "trembleth at my word." The first thing tonight that we have to understand about our approach to the Word of God is the man of God trembles at the Word of God. The man of God trembles at the Word of God. Do you remember we said, if there's a favorite preacher that stands before you and you say, "Oh, I can't wait to hear from him." Why is that? Because you have respect for the man. Do you know why some of us don't read the Word of God? We give it lip service, but little life service, and we haven't approached the Word with a trembling fear that this is Almighty God. This is God in written form, and I come before it and tremble at the very word. We've lost, in a sense, our approach of the word awe-inspiring with the word. The dictionary defines the word awe as a feeling of fearful or profound respect, wonder inspired by greatness, superiority, grandeur of person or a thing. And then it says this, a secular dictionary says, "It is caused by something," awe, "is caused by something sacred." I've approached something, and to me, this is sacred ground. It's where I remove my shoes. It's where I physically bow the knee. I'm approaching something that is hallowed ground. When you approach the Word of God, we come and we approach it as if this is holy ground. I tremble, Lord, before your word. Why do we not have a proper sense of the awe at God's word? I think normally it's simply because we don't know it, and so we don't respect it. That which we have no respect for, we have no need for, and the word of God becomes diminished. Satan's plan for mankind has, from the beginning of his interactions with mankind, been to do what? Question the word of God. What did Satan say to Eve in the garden? Do you know the words? Hath God said. What's he trying to get Eve to do? Hey, Eve, I know what God said, but what he said is not so important that you can't choose your own path. Have you ever had someone say to you before? In fact, I had a lady say it to me in the airport. She said, I don't know what that book says. I just know what I believe. Have you had people say that to you before? Let me just tell you, they can wind up wherever. You have to have a knowledge of the word to have a respect and a sense of awe for the word. We forget that it's not just a word about God, it is a word from God. As such, every syllable ought to feed our hungry soul. Every commandment ought to cause us to bow in humble submission. Remember, he said, but to this man, Almighty God says, will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite heart and trembleth at my word. Do you want to get, if you're a young preacher boy here tonight, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to have knowledge that you have the attention of Almighty God? That you know God's paying attention to me. To this man will I look. The Bible says that God looks at the person who trembles at the word. Listen to what the Bible has to say about itself. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. Psalm 99:1. Psalm 119:120. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. Men, to know the word of God and to say, God, this morning you spoke this to my heart. And God, if today I do this at work, I tremble for fear of you. Lord, if I forsake doing this, I tremble for fear of you. Right now, I'm personally going through the book of Ezekiel. And I have to tell you, in all transparency, I think Ezekiel, for me personally, is one of the most challenging books of the Bible. The wheel in the wheel, way up in the middle of the air. Let me tell you, Ezekiel's a challenging book for me. But when I come to Ezekiel and the Bible says, the blood of the lost man is upon you if you don't share with him truth. I can understand that very easily from the book of Ezekiel. And when we come into the Word of God and we start to understand this has implication for my life today, we tremble at the Word. The Bible says in Psalm 119:161, princes persecute me without a cause, but I stand in awe of your Word. Jeremiah 5:22, fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble in my presence? Joel chapter 2, verse 1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. You and I know that even the demonic hosts tremble at the presence of Almighty God. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils believe also, they equal what you do. You believe there's one God. The devils believe there's one God. But the devils before God tremble. Why do they tremble? Because of the power and awe associated with the name Jesus. Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Men, before we go any further, when you approach this book and we stand back and we say, of that I am in awe, let me tell you, eagerly, each morning, we come to this book and we say, God, I bow before its truth. If it says it, I do it. If it tells me to stop it, I stop it. If it tells me, like my pastor just said, I ought to be in church three times. It says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Then God, that's my practice. If it tells me that I ought tithe, even as I tithe as you've given to me, Lord, I trust that that principle of sowing and reaping is a word of God, and I will practice it. Lord, if it tells me that I'm supposed to go and tell, then God, I will go and I will tell. When you come before the word of God with a sense of, ooh, I tremble at the word of God, then you have opened yourself up to the next step that's found in the word. Number one, the believer trembles at the word of God. Number two, the believer then is taught by the word of God. Number two, the believer is taught by the word of God. If you tremble at the word, you have opened the door to be taught by the word of God. Hey, can anybody in here dunk a basketball? Raise your hand. Anybody in here dunk a basketball? Anybody? Come on, somebody's got to be able to dunk a basketball. You can reach the hoop. I can't even touch the net. There's a guy back there that's kind of raising his hand. He says, yeah, I think I kind of can. A couple of guys are pointing to him. And, you know, if you can dunk a basketball. I can't dunk a basketball. I wish I could. I even saw, you know, these jerseys up here. And I thought, wow, cool, man. Chapel and Getch. And I know, do you like basketball? And I know Brother Getch. I've played basketball with Brother Getch before. And he's an evangelist and he cheats. And, So I love playing basketball, but I tell you, I can't slam a basketball. Can you imagine if a guy my size, I'm 5'10 on a good day, and if I'm standing in this gym, and I got a basketball, and there's a bunch of college guys in here, and I take the basketball, and I throw the basketball up. Some of you old-timers remember the guy Spud Webb. Do you remember Spud? He's shorter than I was. And you throw the ball up, and I throw it up, and I run, and I jump, and I grab that ball, and I'm telling you, I two-hand it. And I send it down on that basketball goal. If there's a bunch of college guys in here, what are the college guys going to do when I stand back? And I'm telling you, I two-hand it. And then I take it again just to show them it's not a fluke. And I take the basketball and I throw it behind my back like this. And then I run and I grab the ball. And I mean, behind my back. I twirl midair and boom, I send the thing down. And the whole thing, don't laugh, pal. And the whole thing, I mean, it just rattles when I send that thing down. Now, let me ask you, what's a group of college guys that are in here watching me play basketball? What are they going to do when I do that? I'm just telling you, they're gonna go crazy, aren't they? They're going to go, oh! Oh! Okay, they're going to be going crazy because I just sent the ball down, okay? I was preaching at a teen camp with Ron Riley one year. And it was after the service, and they had the championship game for basketball. And they said, Brother Riley, come on out here, half court, and shoot the ball. So Brother Riley goes out there, and he gets the ball, and, man, he throws it up, and he missed the backboard completely. And they said, Brother Redlin, come on out here and shoot the ball. And I'll tell you, honestly, I'm not a great basketball player, but I grabbed the ball. I'm at half court, and I just took the ball, and I went like this, wham, like that. And I'm telling you, I ripped it. I just clean as anything, just whoo. And I just turned around like, yeah, that's what I do, you know? I just, okay. Okay, when you do something like that, what does everybody else do? Oh, oh, do that again. Show me how you do that. Oh, that's cool. Well, why is that? Because there's something that you did that everybody says, wow, wow, oh. There's a sense of awe. I mean, how many times can we instill in someone a sense of awe? And if you instill in someone a sense of awe, man, they want to be around you. If you instill in someone a sense of, oh, man, I can't believe what that guy can do. Some of you guys, and well, you should. There's a lot of college students that are sitting on the perimeter tonight. A lot of you guys, you see people like your pastor here. You see people like Brother Sisk right here. I'm telling you, I will never forget what Don Sisk did with my junior high boys' Sunday school class. I had a junior high boys' Sunday school. I probably had 20 junior high boys in there. And in a church staff meeting, we were talking about, hey, who gets Don Sisk for Sunday school? And I said, hey, can I have him? And so I took Don Sisk for my junior high boys Sunday school class. And Don Sisk, who has preached to thousands of people, came and preached to some junior high boys. And I will tell you, at least their junior high Sunday school teacher never forgot it. And I'd submit to you, probably several junior high boys never forgot. That guy came and spoke in my Sunday school class. And do you know what they do? They stand back and they say, wow, Don Sisk. Man, what a man of God. I want to learn from him. I want to sit under his preaching. Whoa, man, Dr. Chapel. Look at how the Lord's used him. I want to sit underneath him. I want to learn from him. Dr. Chapel, what do you do with this? How do you do this? Well, what would you recommend for? Do you know what we do? We stand back and we, in a sense, we tremble in their presence. Do you know what you have in your lap right now? You've got the Word of God. We tremble at the Word of God. This is the Word that lives and abides forever. This is a timeless book. This book is equal to God. This book, I come and I stand in its presence and I tremble. And because I tremble, teach me. What do you have for me? Show me the path of life. What was it that Joshua said in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, how often, men? Day and night. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have, what's the last two words? Good success. What are you doing to be taught by the Word of God? Were you in the Word this morning? Were you in the Word this morning? To take time in the morning. Now that means you have to set your alarm at a time earlier than is absolutely necessary. How many of you, it's a little bit of a challenge to get out of bed in the morning, just raise your hand. How many of you, that very hand knows without even looking how to hit that snooze button that just so easily knows? It's just like, boom. How many of you know how to do that with that hand right there? Okay, now put those hands down, and tonight when you go to bed, belt it to the side of your leg, okay? So you're going to go to bed tonight, you're going to have your hand belted to the side. In the morning, you're going to throw yourself out of bed trying to hit the snooze alarm. And you know what you're going to do? Hey, get someplace alone and spend time in the Word. Now, I'm serious about it, and we can be silly, but if you're going to be taught by the Word, you have to be in it. There has to be a time when you say, God, this is my time with you. Find a place that's yours and God's. And I know sometimes as college students, it might be hard to find that alone place, but you can find a place. It's you and God. You can find time. And by the way, take it with you. Take it with you. Now, you know one of the things that I like to do? I don't have one in here right now, but I like to take a little sticky note and take something, a thought from my devotional time that morning, a verse that I'm trying to meditate on or study on. I print it out is what I do. And you can write it out on a sticky note, but my handwriting's so bad I can't read it. And so what I do is I print it really small on a piece of paper. I just print it, put the verse on a piece of paper, run it through the printer, and I put the sticky note right over top of the verse that I just printed, run it through the printer again, and it puts a nicely printed verse on my sticky note. Stick it right in here. I can stick it different places. Take the Word of God with you. Be taught by the Word of God. If you stand in awe of the Word, if you tremble before it, do you know what you want to do? Teach me, O Lord. Show me the path of life. As I read it, it'll lead me. As I feed upon it, it will fill me. As I look to it, it will lighten my way. As I sow its seed in my life, I will reap in like kind. As I come under its commands, I will find protection from attack. As I make it my daily delight, I will enjoy its eternal blessing. As I make it my final authority, I will find that my steps are always right. And as I obey its commands, I will come to know its commander. Moses said this. Moses said, "Show me now thy ways that I may know thee." Can I say that again? Moses said, "Show me now thy ways that I may know thee." Do you know one of the things that I know? Now, this is the truth, and I'm grateful beyond what you can understand. I'm grateful to stand before you tonight and open a Bible and preach the Word. And Pastor Chapel, the truth of the matter is, he did take he has given liberty tonight for me to preach that oftentimes a pastor does not give, not having at least had good fellowship and an understanding of the person that he just invited to stand behind his pulpit or in front of his men. But I will tell you, I feel like I know him very well. Why? Because I know his ways. I have two of his graduates serving in my ministry. I told them tonight at dinner, listen, I'll take two like them anytime. I've never sat down with him before. Yeah, but I know his ways. I get his material. I look at what West Coast sends out. I look what Lancaster Baptist is doing. I've never met the man before, but I know his ways. If you want to get to know God, you say, yeah, well, how can anybody really get to know God? Know his ways, and you'll know him. Moses said, God, if you'll show me your ways, I'm going to get to know you. There's three paths that'll take you, or two things that'll take you ultimately to God. Precepts, those are just commands. If God says don't. If God says it's good for a man not to look upon a woman, what is that? It's a precept, isn't it? God just commanded it. Okay, there's a principle behind that. It's good for a man not to look upon a woman with lust in his heart. Okay, why is that? Well, that's the precept. That's the command of God. This is the word of God. I tremble at it. Okay, teach me. Don't look upon woman with lust in your heart. Okay, so that's the precept. What's the principle behind it? The principle behind it is God is holy. There's no unrighteousness in God. In fact, God says, I'm so holy, I can't look upon evil. So now I've got the precept. That's the command. It's good for a man not to look upon a woman. I've got the principle. The principle is purity, holiness. And now what do I know? Oh, I know that God's holy. I know that God's pure. I know what God is like by studying his commands. Men, be taught by the word of God. Determine it is my final authority. Amen. There's nothing of greater substance in my life than the word of God. It's the final answer. Your pastor would tell you this. Your pastor would tell you, listen, if I go beyond this principle, then find another pastor or find another church. That's how valuable this book is to a place like this. What is it that you and I need to do? We need to say, hey, this book is the book that I will be taught by. Okay, I tremble at the book. What happens then when I tremble at the book? I can be taught by the book. And what will happen then? Number three, you will be transformed by the book. When you tremble at his word, you can be taught by his word, and you will ultimately be transformed by the word of God. When we talk about transformed, what are we really talking about? In Mark chapter 9, verse number 2, the word says this. It says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. He was literally transformed before their eyes. You and I would know that word. It's the word metamorphosis. Wow, something happened to Jesus. He was transformed, metamorphosis. Okay, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Bible uses the same word, transformed, that the devil also will transform himself into an angel of light. Do you know that word's not metamorphosis? It's a deceiving transformation. It's where the devil says, now I want to look like something valuable. I want to look like something holy, but it's completely different. What is it that he wants to do with you? Not what the devil does before us. Hey, how many of you have ever put on a smile when you didn't feel like it before? Well, all of us have, haven't we? And by the way, sometimes that's just good to do, all right? Just buck up and smile, all right? But how many of you have ever said amen before to something that you're not doing yourself? Have you ever done that before? Amen. Because it's good to say, but there's no reality behind it. Do you know who you were more like then in your transformation? You see, when the Bible becomes that which I tremble before, I come and I stand before it and I tremble. It's the word of God. Lord, I can't believe that you sent me this book, holy men of God spake as they were moved? Lord, you've preserved it for me. I have the word. Lord, I tremble before it. I stand amazed. Teach me. Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Do you know what's going to happen? You're going to be transformed by the book. That means change from what we naturally are into something that he supernaturally makes us to be. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Can we say them together? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Okay, how many of you are naturally those things? Okay, how many of you naturally, how many married guys in here tonight, married? Okay, how many of you naturally always speak kindly to your wives? How many of you naturally always do that? How many of your wives always, okay, Abraham's wife called him what? Lord. How many of you have gotten that going with your wife so far? Raise your, because I'd like to see you afterwards, sorry. Okay, so your wives don't call you Lord. How many of you have ever found it a little bit challenging to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit in traffic here in California? Okay. How many of you have a roommate that, no, don't raise your hand yet, buddy. You know where I'm going, don't you? Yeah, man, I'm telling you right now, whatever you're going to say, I got him, you know? Okay. He was raising that hand. Hallelujah. Okay. You have a roommate that's a little challenging don't even mention names, okay? Don't mention names. Kids. How many of you have kids that, you know, I have my son here. And where's Connor, where are you, pal? Where are you? I don't know. I think I have a son here. He's known to skip church a few times. Connor, where are you? Oh, there he is. He's going like this. He's going, Dad, leave me alone, man, okay? Okay. Listen, I can't tell you how grateful I am for my son, Connor, and I'm serious about that. But I will tell you on more than one occasion, I have needed what this book can provide in parenting. On more than one occasion. I've needed to demonstrate what is not naturally mine. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There's a name in your prayer bulletin tonight. Yeah, it's the Kretzmann family. We spoke about them at dinner this evening. The Kretzmans are missionaries on deputation. They were called to missions under the ministry of Pastor Chapel at a conference that he was preaching at years ago. And they were in a car accident Sunday evening, and they lost their 3-year-old daughter. Do you know what they need? They need to be transformed by something that's not natural. And there's one place that it can happen. It's the Word of God. Did you know that this book has every answer that you'll need? Every answer. You know, it's defied science. It's defined true philosophy. It's provided counsel beyond the wisest of mankind's counselors. Geographically, historically, it's never been inaccurate. From start to finish and every place in between, it has truth for people like you and I. Well, what do we do with this book? We find that if I will come and approach it and tremble before Almighty God and his word, I'll be taught by the word. What's the result? I will be transformed by the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says this. It says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, here's the word, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18. The word changed there is the same word that you'd suspect it be. It's metamorphosis. And whose likeness am I going to be transformed into? Hey, do you want to look like Christ in your room? Do you want to look like Christ with your wife? Do you want to look like Christ on the interstate? Do you want to look like Christ when you're knocking on a door and presenting the same? Do you want to look like Christ when you stand behind the pulpit and open the book and say, thus saith the Lord. There's only one way that that can happen. We can put it on. We can say things that we know to say. We can put a little lilt in our voice at the right place where the lilt is supposed to be. But unless God does a work of changing, transforming, then it's all sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. But when we meet with him in his word, he does something that only supernaturally can be accomplished. And that is, we are changed into the same image. Open mine eyes, Psalm 119, verse number 1, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Why would anyone desire to learn from that which they do not respect or fear? You won't, but if you'll come and say it's the word, teach me, transform me. How should I do it? Make a decision to do it. Hey, look up the words, do it, in Scripture. Just look up the words. Nike did not create the words, okay? The Bible did. And the Bible says, do it. Be courageous. Do it. All right? Make up your mind. Do it. I suppose that the plans are going to differ, but the do it does not. Do you know what you need to decide? To do it. There are men in here who decided years ago, every day I'm going to read the word. And do you know what they have found? It's never disappointed them. Do you know what they've learned? It has taught me, and ultimately, it has transformed me. We're suffering today from a group of people who are trying to do the work of God apart from the word of God, and it'll always end in failure. But if you'll come before the word and say, I'm going to do it, that means tomorrow when your alarm clock goes off, say, God, I'm going to get out of bed. Do you know one of the things you'll find in Scripture, 40 days oftentimes seems significant. In the book of Luke, the Bible says that Jesus was tempted 40 days of the devil. Sometimes we think, no, he had three temptations. No, it says he was tempted 40 days of the devil. And do you know what happened? He succeeded. He succeeded. A man that was built in the likeness of sinful flesh succeeded. How did he do that? The Bible says that he was filled with the Spirit. What did he rely upon? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Do it. Why don't you decide, hey, for 40 days, I'm going to read every day the word of God. Amen. Decide for 40 days. Let me tell you, you will be tempted of the devil. The devil will say, oh, man, you were up so late last night. You had so much to do. You had this. You had that. Let me just tell you, why don't you decide, write out a little thing and put 40 days down and put a little check mark next to your bed, and every day, say, for 40 days, I'm going to read the word of God. Do you know what you'll find? You'll find 41 will be a lot easier, and 42, and 140, and 1,040. Do you know what it'll become? Become a part of your life. Men, do it. Now, you might even say, man, I've never done this before. I've never really consistently every day read the word. How do I do it? Just start. Well, where should I start? To be quite honest with you, we're fed by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, I think there's a lot of wisdom to systematically going through the word. You might find as you begin, some of you say, listen, honestly, listen, brother, I've never consistently read the word. Okay, then start in the New Testament and study the life of Jesus Christ and find him throughout it. I told Connor the other day, I said, man, Connor, you highlighted some great scriptures in your Bible. I just started looking through his Bible, and he'd been highlighting some things, little phrases that stood out. And I thought, you know, I know what Connor's going through right now, and I know what those phrases mean. And so he started to highlight some phrases. Get a little highlighter, get a little pen, start highlighting in your Bible. Get a little notebook. Some of you are using your iPad. All right, so start a little file on your iPad in your whatever, and start keeping track of what is it that stands out. God's teaching me this right now. Print it out. Put it in your wallet. Put it where you're going to see it. Put it next to your girlfriend's picture. All right, study the Word of God. Be persistent. How am I going to be transformed? Be persistent with the word of God. Make it personal. The important thing to do when you're, listen, I'm going to do it every day. Make it personal. God, what do you have for me today? Start out by asking him to feed you. Lord, this is the word. Personalize it for me today. Quite honestly, I have found more recently in Ezekiel that spoke to me as a pastor. And I thought, man, Lord, you had Jeremiah say these things. You had Ezekiel say these things. Lord, you're challenging me to say some of these same things. Those aren't easy things for those guys to say. Lord, you're speaking to me right now. I have to say the hard things. He's personally speaking to me through his word. I promise you, he will personally approach you. You say, oh, sometimes I read the Bible, I just don't get anything out of it. Okay, well, how are you reading the Bible? Well, you know, I just kind of... And they went before and rebuked him that he should hold his peace. Thank you, Lord. All right. Man, get in the Bible and start opening its pages and read through it. Start in the New Testament. Use the book of Proverbs as your guide. Memorize a book of Scripture. Memorize a book of Scripture. You want to memorize a book? Go to the book of James and start memorizing the book of James. It'll give you action to your Christian life. Go to the book of Philippians, and you're struggling with hardship right now, just start reading through the book of Philippians. Read it in big sections and start putting to memory the book. Let me just tell you, you start coming to the Word of God and say, God, I've got to get this into my life. You'll have a new tremble, you'll have a new teacher, and you'll have a new transformation. Do you remember the person who wrote the old poem? Though its cover is worn and its pages are torn, though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book worn and old that can shatter and scatter my fears. When I prayerfully look in this precious old book, when my eyes scan the pages, I see many traces of love from the Father above, who's nearest and dearest to me. This old book is my guide. 'Tis a friend by my side. It will lighten and brighten my way. In each promise I find, soothes and gladdens my mind as I read it and heed it each day. Are you trembling at the word? When's the last time you just said, dear God, thank you that I have the living, uncomparable, unchangeable, immutable word from you, Almighty God, to teach me. Might this book be my primary source? Lord, use it to instill in my life. How am I supposed to date this girl? How am I supposed to correct this child? How am I supposed to love this wife? How am I supposed to proclaim this word? Teach me. And Lord, ultimately, might I be changed into your image. Transform my life and do it through this book. You want a great foundation, rooted and grounded? It's not going to happen, men, apart from this book. I pray you'll decide this book is the book from which I will tremble. I'll be taught, and you, Lord, do the work of transformation.